It's time for the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. In an era of chaos, confusion, and craziness, Ference is a voice for common sense. As a financial literacy educator, speaker, and entrepreneur, Ference cuts through the noise to help us understand how current events affect our money, economy, and our freedom. Now, here's Ference Toth.
Welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and we have one of our favorite guests, as usual, John Burley. He's a real estate expert, educator, investor. John, welcome to the Your Personal Bank Show again.
Ference, it is awesome to be here. I so enjoyed sharing with you and your audience. We have a great time, and I'm looking forward to an exciting, exciting episode.
Excellent. And just so you know, quick news, you already know this, but our audience keeps expanding. So we're excited. We got three more new cities this last couple months ago.
Wow, that is amazing. I mean, you're going to be as big as Rush Limbaugh pretty soon, I think. And I already think of you kind of as the all things money Rush Limbaugh, in my opinion. So I'm just honored to be here. Love your people. Love your audience. Love what you guys are all about here.
Well, thank you. And we always enjoy hearing what you have to say about real estate. So we're not going to delay any further. John, just so you know, if you don't know John Burley, he's probably the most famous person you don't know. He's written a best-selling, he's a best-selling author. He owns thousands of real estate properties, 35 plus years. John, in the real estate world, tell us a little bit about your background for those that are not familiar with who you are.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I come out of the world of Wall Street, the financial planning side of the business. I was very entrepreneurial when I was young, had a large brokerage. In 1989, I actually formed the very first private equity company that was for profit that did single family home portfolio. So we were actually out 18, 20 years before all the big funds came in. We've done over $500 million of raises and placements over the years. Just been loving the business, seeing all the ups and all the downs. It kind of gives perspective right now. As you know, Ference, there is just so much noise on social media. And unfortunately, so much of that noise is by people who really don't know what they're doing because they have such a short time frame and such a short perspective. I mean, they think the whole world of real estate is from 2018 today, and it's obviously just a little teeny piece of what's happened. So I'm really excited about the marketplace. There's a lot of great opportunities out there. There's also some learning lessons that people are going through, and some just, I know I hear people that we're in these hard times. It's like, you know, anybody who's been around, if you're brand new, you know, and you're 25 years old or just have very little perspective looking at, I could see where you may have that opinion, but, you know, veterans who have been around, these aren't even vaguely kind of sort of hard times. Quite frankly, on the world of real estate, we're in more normal times. I mean, it's certainly nothing like the early 80s and the late 70s when Jimmy Carter started the interest rates through the roof. And, you know, even the Reagan administration, as great a president he was, we still were just huge interest rates, you know, 18, 16, 14, 12%. Everybody's going crazy about interest rates are 6.5 and 7. It's not time to go crazy. Now, I know it sucks if you miss the 2.5 and 3. But we're just there. So a lot of stuff going on in the marketplace, and it's really, really a time for people to look to voices of wisdom, not reason, voices of wisdom, people who have been around and been in the trenches and have a perspective that is long-term, which real estate is long-term, not short-term.
Right. John, I love what you brought up about the interest rates, because I've discussed this so often with my listeners and clients that, yes, interest rates are much higher than they were, say, a couple of years ago. But if you look at the last, 30, 40 years, they're about what's typical or normal.
Yeah, if you look at 20, 40-year charts, if you go to a couple hundred-year charts, America, hovers at the 9, 9.5 range on the very long term. So, we are lower than that, but I do fully empathize and understand that for a lot of people, this is certainly a sticker shock because, they thought interest rates were going to go down forever. Most social media influencers are like, interest rates always go down. They always go down. They always go down. Real estate always goes up, nothing ever goes wrong. And the reality is, hey, this is like any other financial instrument. Stuff goes wrong every day. Mm-hmm. I think, housing affordability,
that was something I wanted to bring up with you, because the housing or affordability index, that's the big news right now. It's like the highest, the worst levels it's been, I think, since they've been tracking this.
Yeah, I mean, it is, there's issues out there, especially if all you're doing is conventional. If all you're doing is conventional thinking, in other words, we are going to do the most plain Jane vanilla for your own home or for as a real estate investor, then you are going to deal with affordability. If you're a landlord and you have had your portfolio for any period of time, the housing affordability index is, a moment of great glee and joy for you because your rents are going through the roof. Although they tapered down on the big increases, there were many markets that were going up over 10% a year for 3, 4, 5 straight years. So, hey, if you're a landlord and you haven't raised your rents in a few years, you should raise your rents. However, if you're looking to own your own home, look, two ways. The first way, it's not advice I liked hearing when I bought my first home in 79 at all. And it was like, John, you need to rein in your vision of your home and you need to look at it at what it is. For me at the time, it was your starter home. It was your first home. You need to buy something you can afford, not the home of your dreams, which quite frankly, you and I have been around a long time. Your first couple homes aren't going to be the home of your dreams. It's
Right.
not the idea. It's a starter home for a reason. So for a lot of people, look, if you're just going to be doing the conventional route, you're going to be doing none of the creative stuff, which we can talk about later in the show. If you're just going to be doing conventional, then unfortunately, the advice I have to give you is common sense advice, which is I know your listeners embrace common sense, but most of the world doesn't. The common sense of advice is that, you need to buy a more moderate home. At the 6.5, 7% interest rates, there is an old saying that, we date the rate and we marry the property. With that said, I mean, there's speculation back and forth both ways. Interest rates may go down, they may go up, they may hold. We get a lot of different information. I know everybody early this year is like, well, Biden has to drop the rates to get reelected. Well, Jimmy Carter didn't drop the rates. And quite frankly, if we're going to be unbiased and impartial, Reagan didn't drop the rates for a long time either, and he still got reelected. So it's not like you have to. I mean, people say it is, but it's not true. Lots of presidents haven't dropped the rates to get done. They're looking at a bigger picture, whether we agree with with any administration, and certainly the current administration, which you and I aren't in big agreement with,
Right.
is I don't see a mass of things. And I certainly don't see a retrench to 2.5, 3, 3.5% interest rates. That's just not on the timeline. Quite frankly, they never should have been there. It was this little teeny sliver golden window. Heck, it was a platinum window. If you grab some financing in that, hold on to it. I hear people complain, oh, I'm locked into my home because I have a low loan. They say this like this is a bad thing. If you've got a great loan, well, just stay, Make the home what yours, put in the new barbecue, do a little remodeling in the kitchen, do whatever you want. Just hey, you got a great rate that you're probably never ever going to see again in your entire lifetime, even if you're 20 years old. Revel in it.
Right, right.
And then when you do move into this, move on to a better home, keep that sucker as a rental forever.
Right.
Now, we'll talk about in the next section, if you'd like, we can talk about some ways where you can take advantage of other people's existing loans legally, ethically, and morally. There are techniques we use out there that I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times where I took control of an existing loan at a great rate, and it's a really good way to do it. It limits your choices on the homes, but it gives you control over the interest rate. So really, I think for most people you're looking at, look, if you're buying a new home to you at existing rates, you're gonna have to just buy a home that fits your budget, and that's the reality. If you're single today, they call it house hacking. When you and I were young parents, we called it you rent out the spare bedroom so your buddies can pay for your mortgage,
Right.
which is what I did until I got married. That doesn't work well at married, but it does for most people. But it does work great when you're a single guy. You just rent out your spare bedrooms, which
Right.
makes your housing more affordable. And then I know for a lot of people, boy, 5 years ago, everybody thought we were crazy. But today, a lot of people, and I know something your family's done is you can live in very, very affordable areas for most of us, not all of us, but for many of us. We don't need to live in a huge, big, expensive city anymore. Those days have passed. And so I know a lot of people I know have really looked at the lifestyle side of it. And it's like, wow, if I leave these humongous cities, most of them, I live in really the only affordable humongous city, which is Phoenix. It's the fourth, fifth biggest city in the country, and it's not even the top 25 on pricing. But for most people, if you're in, especially if you're on a coast, west or east, and you're in a big city, you don't have to stay there usually for your job anymore. There's a lot of options. So I think with the affordability, people need to embrace the affordability. I wish there was a magic wand that you could go buy your million-dollar house at a 2% interest rate. But there isn't. However, in the next session, we can talk about there is a magic wand that's available out there that we can look at for people as far as on interest rates. So affordability is huge. The other thing
Right.
is, look, if you're already a property investor or consider being a property investor, rents moved up so much that houses that used to be very mediocre, very low rates of return are now really amazing. And our portfolios. And I do know, many of our properties in the last 4 or 5 years, we have literally increased the rental income 50 to 60%. I remember when the rent started moving, we'd send out the rental increase, and we have a big portfolio, so we send them out 4 different times a year. But when we send out the rental, and that's just for our convenience, not the residents, just it's easier to basically, and we first started
Right.
doing rent increases. We had people going like, "Oh, John, no way." Oh, they weren't telling me because I have a team that does, but they're like, "No way, no way." And then within 72 hours, like 98% of them got back and said, "Never mind," because they found out that our $200 a month rent increase was a steal compared to what it was in the marketplace.
Right.
And that, people are doing more and more and more. I mean, one of the things and your listeners know this well. Every time the government makes it harder on the landlords, rents go up. This is a normal business. When you increase the cost of doing business, two things happen. The business goes under, in which case the clients aren't served, or the business passes on the cost to the consumer, in this case, the renter. So
Right.
every time they do adversarial landlord policies, rents just go up. If it takes us longer to evict, we make a business decision and we raise the rents more.
Exactly.
And that's kind of a disconnect in a lot of governments there is what they really forget is it's not the evil landlord, they're the housing provider. We've all seen government housing, and although certainly there is a few exceptions, in most cases, government housing is not where most people would desire to ever, ever, ever
Live.
live.
I'm going to leave you on that thought, John. Folks, so you're listening, you can tell already that John is just full of wisdom, real estate. This is solid gold, and I'm going to really encourage you to stay tuned in the next segments because John's going to be with us today on the whole show. If you want to contact me on how to navigate this economic chaos that I keep sharing with people, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. And one last thing, John, you've got an event coming up. When is that, and how does somebody reach connect with you?
Yeah, our next event is April 4th to 7th. It's in Phoenix, Arizona, and you can go to johnburley.com, johnburley.com, and you can follow me on all social media.
Excellent. Well, stay tuned to the next segment because we're going to have John sharing some great information, more information about real estate.
Are you concerned about the direction our country is headed and how it may affect your money? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Your Personal Bank provides a place to grow your money safely with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This keeps your money safe, and you can take advantage of opportunities regardless of the economic situation. For more information, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com or 866-268-4422. That's yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and we have one of our most favorite guests, John Burley, real estate expert, entrepreneur, educator. John, thank you for joining us again today.
Awesome to be here, Ference. Love our conversations.
I do
Always
too.
Amazing.
And folks, if you missed the first segment, I'm just going to tell you, go to yourpersonalbank.com. You can listen to this or any of the previously recorded shows anytime you want. If you missed it, John was talking about housing affordability. You don't want to miss that. You want to check it out. But the next question I had, John, for you was, still on a political nature a little bit, but Trump has vowed that if he gets reelected, that he's going to do the largest deportation in history. Obviously, Biden stays in, or the Democrats stay in charge, that the immigration situation will be far different. How do you think either administration next year will affect housing? Or
Yeah,
do
I
you
think
think it'll affect housing prices
yeah,
and such?
obviously it's going to affect housings either way. I mean, there's so in essence, in the housing sector, there's what's called Class A, which would be your upper middle class to really high upper class homes. I mean, the stereotype, and we use stereotypes because they're mostly true. Obviously, there's always an exception. I mean, a good stereotype would be things rarely end well for a drug lord. They usually end up in prison or dead. I'm sure somewhere there's an exception of a drug lord who died in his 80s in bed, but I don't know of one. So we use stereotypes. They're mostly true. There's exceptions. Hey, we're not on CNN. We're not on Fox. So we can just use them because they're real and we all know that. There's Class A, which is the high-end housing. There's Class B, which is your middle class, with that range going up and down 20% either way. And then there's Class C, which is, your lower income, your moderate lower income. Wall Street came up with Class D, but, Class C already stood for, not good housing anyhow, so I don't go to Class D, and I don't invest in Class C, and obviously I don't touch Class D. Just the culture, it just doesn't work. Regardless, it's not a be like that's racist. It's not a race thing. It's a culture within that economic community.
Well,
It just doesn't work.
it's a business decision you're making.
Yeah, and it's not the
A
clientele
risk
I want to deal
reward.
with. Yeah, I want to deal with clients who are grateful and enjoy my relationships, not clients who are adversarial. And again, it's a stereotype, but it's there, and there was enough of it in my career. We don't do it. As you bring in more immigrants, and look, immigrants are the backbone of American history. Virtually everybody listening right now is an immigrant. We came here at some point, most of us legally. Under the rules and regs that were there, my family came in, 19th century, so in the 1800s, we weren't on the Mayflower or anything. It's the backbone of America. It's the beginning workforce, and it's the classic American millionaire. The American success story is mom and dad came. All of our families basically have this story. Mom and dad came generations ago. They worked two, three jobs. They worked super, super hard. They installed work ethic in their children, and they made their children get great education. Well, look, if you're educated well and you have a hard work ethic in America, you're a millionaire. I mean, that's not hard. It's something that sometimes people have been here for many generations have forgotten. With that said, illegal immigration is an issue that's talked about a lot, so I'm not going to go there. There's just no need. I think, obviously, if there's lots of immigration coming in, it puts pressure on lower income level housing for a generation, and then that shifts and moves into the middle class housing. And so that just puts more people in, and you've got several states. We're not doing it federally, but you've got several states that are providing benefits that are designed for citizens for non-citizens who are not in the legal process of being here. Housing assistance, Section 8, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because there's a lot of those programs. Everybody just kind of calls it Section 8, but there's a whole bunch of them. So I think that if immigration continues at record levels, there will be pressure on that. And what that pressure does is just raises the rents and raises the rents and raises the rents, which then forces the rents to go up in Class B and Class A, but more on Class C. If you were to dramatically lower those clients, well, then you've got right now a lot of speculation that's been occurring by quote unquote Wall Street, which means all kinds of funds that aren't directly Wall Street. Everybody just calls it Wall Street. And so they've been building tremendous amounts of Class C and even Class D multi-housing, small housing, mini houses, lower and more moderate income, not a lot of it in the middle class, Class B. And there is a lot of talk that they probably have overbuilt in those sectors already. And so if you reduce the clientele, especially a large clientele that's receiving government assistance for rents, they're going to have problems. And there already is pressure in a lot of the lower income, moderate income, multi-unit residential properties. And they're already having struggles. A lot of them did short-term financing, and obviously the rates went up, and the current rents won't. They were speculating that interest rates would stay down forever. And I'm not a speculator. I don't make bets on stuff I have no control over. If I wanted to do that, I'd go to Las Vegas, and I don't go to Vegas. So, definitely, if that continues, that's a sector that's already in trouble. So, multi-housing residential apartments is already in trouble. In the Class C markets, if you were to take away that government income streams because you didn't have all those people coming in, it would certainly have a huge effect on that sector, which when one sector's hit, it filters through.
Could
Just
it
like,
be, could you anticipate, I mean, if they do a mass deportation program, you know, it could be some similar like what we're facing with commercial real estate right now.
Absolutely. And you know, mass anything.
Right.
Mass anything is going to affect the economic markets in a big way.
Right.
And not always good. So, I mean, there's when you do big mass things, even if they're great things to do in the short term, they charge chaos. Chaos raises emotions. There's, you know, this tremendously old saying that most people have heard, but if you haven't, you really should hold on to this. When your emotions are up, your intellect is down. The great leaders I've known, without exception, it wasn't a movie or a TV show. They didn't run on high emotions and high drama. They ran very low emotions, very low drama, very high intellect. The great business leaders that I've known in my life, when they were in states of emotions, they moved themselves out of the decision-making process so they could lower their emotions and their intellect would return and they could make wise decisions. I mean, that's why when things are going bad, markets crash way more than they should. And when they're going good, they go up because everybody's running on emotions except for the professionals who are smiling and making humongous profits because we're dealing with our intellect. So mass anything causes some chaos. Even if long term it's good, in the short term and in real estate windows, you know, you're talking 5, 10, 15 year windows, you can do it. And you know, office sector has nothing to do with residential, yet with the office sector having a lot of collapse, it's affecting residential because of the fear factor. And it's just like, you know, the other thing is, you know, like Chicago's a great example, and it really is innovative. They're talking about converting a lot of those vacant office buildings to residential, condos, townhomes, et cetera. The disconnect is, well, if everybody's not coming downtown to work in those office buildings, everybody probably doesn't want to live downtown anymore. Some people do, but not everybody. So there's not this pent-up demand and supply. If they were all working downtown and you could magically have them work downtown and have vacant buildings, well, then that'd be cool. But that's not what's happening in most places. And it's a big factor that's affecting, you know, many of the major cities in America is that population is not coming downtown to work like they used to.
Right.
And they're working remote, and so it's affecting the office building, which is affecting all the sectors.
Well, the other thought that came to mind, like you said, is how one area can affect the other is with the office sector struggling, you know, the financing, the money available to loan and stuff gets a little more limited, say, in residential or other areas, obviously.
Yeah, and
that's where you get that spillover effect.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, huge, very successful companies like Hilton pulling out of cities like San Francisco and defaulting on $500 million, $750 million, $1 billion loans all over the world, just making business decisions and, you know, understanding that, you know, hey, JP Morgan may not loan to us anymore, but we're willing to take that hit. We may have to pay more higher interest rates because we're not as great a borrower on future projects, but we're willing to take that hit because they're making business decisions. Again, cold, calculating, non-emotional decisions. You know, when Hilton, one of the best hotel and the operators in the world, makes the decision that even at 100% occupancy, we can't break even in a city like San Francisco because of the costs. And, you know, and there's so much associated with that. It's not just real estate costs, obviously. You know, that should send up lots of red flags to the industry. When leaders are pulling out of specific cities and markets, and they're doing that across the world, by the way, that's not a San Francisco thing. That's across the world thing. They're really evaluating their major hotels, and they've let some of their gems go intentionally into foreclosure and default. And currently, the lenders haven't wanted to renegotiate. And I know the San Francisco property, they were literally like, we could only pay 40% of what we're paying. So literally we over, you know, and they've just acknowledged we made a huge mistake. We put way too much money into a property that would never work at 2% interest, let alone 6 or 7% interest. And it simply won't calculate. It doesn't pencil. And they made the long-term decision with a lot of short-term pain. We're just simply going to default on the loans. And obviously there was big attempts to work out the loan prior.
Sure.
Yeah. Those aren't just random defaults. This isn't like someone having their condo foreclosed.
Right. Yeah. These are billion-dollar projects.
Yeah, these big projects. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of uncertainty going forward in the real estate world. It's going to be probably more important than ever to, like you said, pencil out the numbers, get some good advice. Especially if you're new at this, you could really fall into some landmines, I would say.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things that we've always done is I was taught and learned from some very common sense mentors. So I've never owned a negative cash flow property, not one. You know, I've owned thousands and thousands and thousands. You've been to my events. You've met my students. We
I
have
have.
never done negative cash flow. So what it means is when a crash occurs, you know, and let me help out on a real estate point of view, folks. There was no great recession in 2008. It was a full-blown economic depression for real estate. It was not a recession. Hey, when politicians admit to a great recession, you're in a depression.
Right.
And all charts indicate that. Is from 2008 to 12, when almost all other operators failed and went bankrupt, we actually had five of the best years in the history of the company, our five-best-year run. 91% of our residents did nothing but stay and pay. Because the homes were affordable and they were all positive cash flow. Now, it did mean in 4, 5, and 6, we didn't buy a lot of deals because the deals didn't make sense because the prices were too high. The payments were too high. The deals simply didn't make sense. So one of the things with real estate investing that we do is we actually do investing. So if you follow social media, most of what you're seeing there is not real estate investing. It's real estate speculation. And speculators eventually always go broke because they never, never, never know when to stop. They never get, I just got lucky. I should pull the money off the table. Yeah, you know, it's like they're in a casino playing craps. One more
John,
roll.
You have an event coming up, and we're going to get into this more in the next segment. How do somebody wants to reach out to you?
Yeah, go to johnburley.com, johnburley.com. It's April 4th to 7th. It's our annual spring training. We only do 3 events a year, and you can follow me on all social media.
Awesome. And if you want to contact me to handle anything else money-related, yourpersonalbank.com. Stay tuned to the next segment. We're going to have John talk about what it is he does, what does he teach and educate at these events. So stay tuned.
Are you prepared if we fail to avoid a recession? I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show. Most of the leading economic indicators show we are headed for recession. Your Personal Bank earns dividends with guarantees, tax-free, and highly liquid. This protects you from the downside risk and allows you to take advantage of opportunities in a changing economy. For more info, contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and we have one of our favorite guests, John Burley, real estate expert, entrepreneur, educator, and he's been discussing a lot of stuff about what's going on currently with real estate, the affordability, commercial real estate, residential real estate, investors. If you missed any of it, strongly encourage you, go to yourpersonalbank.com and you can listen to this or any of the previously recorded shows. But John, thank you for being with us again today.
It is awesome to be here. And you know, just last segment, Ference, I want to say, you are the only person who has asked me about the effects of mass immigration, pro and con. Incredible question. If you guys missed that, you know, hop onto yourpersonalbank.com and check that out.
Thank you,
because
John.
That really was a question that most people don't think about. Everything has effects.
Some people call me, they call me a thinker, and it hit me. I've been thinking about it a while, and I knew I was going to talk to you soon. And I was like, I'm going to ask the person that knows more about it. And I even saw you when I first asked the question, you were a little like, you had to think about it a minute. Cause it's like, I got that feeling nobody had asked you that. But I think
it was an amazing question. It's one of the reasons, you know, why I love coming on every quarter and doing your show is that, you know, I get to think and be challenged as well, just like the listeners and yourselves.
Awesome.
You know, the a couple things that are out there. So, you know, in real estate investing, and guys, I run a private equity company. I'm the founder and CEO of a company that was formed in 1989. 2% of the firms that invest in Wall Street are for profit, meaning 98% of the money make the money off of the fees, regardless of performance. They call it the asset management fee, which is an annual fee. And then there's the entry and the exit. We work for profit. For 35 years, my firm has made money from my clients every single year. And we made more in 8 to 12 than in the good years. Because if you're doing this well, you make your money in the down years, not the up years, because you're not speculators. I never bought a piece of real estate because it was going to go up in value. I like that it does over the long term. I like that over the long term, it does better than the S&P 500 and the Dow, and also provides tax benefits that they don't. But the main thing it provides is income stream, which gives me staying powers when the market goes down, as long as I'm positive cash flow. Two huge things that we're thinking right now. And look, let me be straight up. I hear all these guys on social media, and understand the difference. Most of them are influencers. They are not investors. I'm an investor. It's what I do for a living. You know, as an influencer, it's shock and awe, shock and awe, shock and awe. Get everybody to pay attention to your noise. Whether you know what you're doing or not is irrelevant. It just is. But real estate investing, anybody who tells you it is easy and anybody can do it, here's what you know. That person, part of them, is a fool or a deceiver. There's no nice way to say it, because it's not easy. It's like anything in the world that is significant as an accomplishment, especially in the financial world. It takes work. The difference is, if you learn what you're doing, the work is extraordinarily high paid, and you can learn to develop a team and have the team take it over. Real estate investing, I know everybody, if you go to social media and listen to influencers, they're all talking about you don't need any money, you don't need any credit, it's super easy. Okay, it's not true. The reality is, real estate takes money. It is a heavy asset class that requires lots of coin. So what we did, you know, and what I did in my own life as an investor, and then later when I became an educator, which was kind of by accident, is I just realized, look, if I wanted to build a huge portfolio, I needed to take my lessons from Wall Street, and I need to learn how to raise money and raise it very, very well in a very simple model that's a non-security. And then we do the more complex security models because they're different. The security models most people should never touch until they have vast experience and track record. The non-security models are a lot more simpler to deploy and get in. And so we teach people first and foremost how to raise money.
And I hate to interrupt you, but when you say security model, non-security model, for the novice, what do you mean by those things?
So lots and lots of things that people teach about raising money are actually a security model, which means you need to register a file within the state you're in any state you take money. And if you do not do so, it is a security violation. Now, with that said, probably 99 out of 100 people who commit a security violation, nothing ever happens. It didn't mean you were okay or good. It just means nobody checked. But if they checked, you're looking at financial ruin and possibly jail, even for minor offenses. So there's very, very, very strict rules. They're not vague. They're very well laid out. And we discuss this at the events because we teach people to raise money. And if you come out to our events, you'll literally meet students who in a year or two, 5 years, raised $10 to $100 million and built a huge portfolio that cash flowed for $25,000 to $100,000 plus a month. And we have several of those people, real people, live there, not pictures of them, not picture checks. I always love real estate presentations that do pictures of checks. Yeah, I got a check 2 years ago from a little teeny place in the deep south, but everybody else sends me a wire. I don't know about how you guys do business.
Right.
But I did get a check from one. They didn't know how to do it. Well, if they knew how to do wire, they didn't do it. So we teach people first and foremost how to raise money. And then one of the things we're really doing now, and it kind of tags on our first segment, is that we are right now every month acquiring properties using the existing financing. We are either doing what's called a subject to transaction, where we take control of the existing loan without assuming it, which most realtors won't do, or we assume the loan, or there's something called a mirror wrap that's done with VA loans. So we have, well, last couple months, we have acquired loans as low as 1.75%. So if you'd like a 1.75% loan, go to johnburley.com and we'll show you how to do it. We have also done several that are 1.75, bunch in the twos, a couple that were like 3.5, but they were 3.5 with a lot of equity. Now, these require some money, obviously closing costs, title insurance, money to the seller, but they're usually very moderate entries. You know, you're looking at, you know, a small percentage, you know, similar to an FHA type of acquisition. We're just able to take control of a very, very low interest loan. So for some of you, if you'll invest in your knowledge, wisdom, and education, for some of you, you can choose to get a low interest loan right now, today. And we're going to be teaching huge segments on that April 4th to 7th at our event. You know, go to johnburley.com. You know, you can book in. We'll show you how to do it. Because we are actively buying homes with low interest rate loans. I can't choose from every house for sale. I can only choose from the houses for sale that have the right loan But the house still has to work. So we have to make sure we're doing it right. There's a lot to it. It's not a simple transaction. It is complex. The documentation and paperwork. Yeah, don't download that stuff from, LegalZoom, or as we refer to it, professionals refer to it as legal doom, because obviously real people aren't buying their docs there. I mean, you need sophisticated paperwork, documents, techniques. And we spend 4 days walking you through the ins and outs of how we do these transactions for real, without the hype of influencers. And so we really, really, and so what that means is houses that I could not make work as an investment or an affordable personal residence with a 6 or a 6.5 or 7% loan at 1.75 to 3.5, I can make that house work all day long. And we also do these with buildings. We also do these with apartments. We do it with commercial, but just be aware of the risk, because obviously the commercial sector is being affected. If you're doing any commercial sector, it's, if anybody tells you
right now,
if anybody tells you that the commercial epidemic failure that's coming in the office building won't affect your strip mall, they are beyond naive, or just a trickster who's misleading you. Because they are. I mean, it would be naive to think that that sector is not being affected right now. And the bad hasn't happened yet. That sector, we're just at the tip of what's going to happen. And that will affect all the other sectors around real estate. And it'll affect Wall Street. I mean, that you can't have big ripples without affecting everything around it. We're not looking at tsunamis. No. There's no mass glut of foreclosures coming in the residential sector. You know, it's funny. And it is amazing human nature, Farron. All these people complaining, I'm locked to my home because I have a 3% loan. Like, this is a bad thing. It's like, just smile and be grateful. You have a 3% loan.
I've said that dozens of times to potential clients and clients. Oh, same thing.
Yeah. I get from all the time. I always tell them, well, hey, I'll write you a check and I'll take your home and your loan.
Yeah. One of those today, typically.
Yeah. So just stay put. Again, for some people, look back at your mom and dad and your grandma and grandpa. How long did they live in the family home? 20, right. 30, 40, 50 years. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. And so we're just very, very excited about the marketplace and the opportunities that are out there right now. Parents, I love that some of the old techniques that we used to do on the assumptions and the subject to and the mirror wraps, taking control of those old loans, are completely back. And they're happening again. These normally in a normal real estate cycle, which is 14, 15 years, the normal cycle from going up and then going down again and repeating and repeating and repeating. Mm-hmm. We get a couple of year windows where we can use some of these really creative techniques. The reality is 80% of the time, the really creative techniques don't work on most properties in most markets. There's always that exception, which is what they talk about on social media, but it's not the norm.
Right
now, we do have them. The difference is, look, guys, it's not 1990. These aren't $8,000, $6,000, $10,000 down. Heck, for many of us, the closing costs are more than that.
Right.
And the seller still needs some money. But we are really actively taking control of the loans. Come out to the event.
If somebody wanted to learn more about that, John, I know you have an event coming up. How would they contact you or learn more about this?
Yeah, April 4th to 7th, our annual spring training. Go to johnburley.com. We have free tools and downloads for you there, and also information about upcoming events. And you can follow me on any of the social medias. John Burley, Burley, easy to find. We're out there. Would love to meet you face to face. We've had so many of Ferentz listeners come to the events and have joined from it. And how Ferentz and I originally met is Ferentz going way back. We've done business together. Ferentz is, however, one of our students.
Yes, that's how I think I've attended about 9 days of your training altogether so far. And folks, I can say firsthand that the reason why I bring John on is it's legitimate. What he shares is real. It's real world, and it's not theory. So you can apply these principles that John is teaching. If you are indeed interested in real estate investing, the first thing I tell people, especially without experience, go learn, because it's a business like any other business.
Yeah. And we teach it from the first morning and throughout the entire 4 days. We teach it as a real business and a real business model. This is not a willy nilly get rich quick scheme. I tell people, hey, if you're looking for get rich quick or a financial miracle, I am not your guy. I am not Jesus Christ. I cannot part waters, and I cannot save people who aren't willing to save themselves.
I like that. Well, folks, I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned in the last segment, because we got John one more segment today, and we've got some more great information I'm sure he's going to be sharing with us you don't want to miss. Obviously, if you want to contact me on anything else or money related, navigate this economic chaos or challenges or whatever you want to call it going forward, contact me at yourpersonalbank.com. Stay tuned in the next segment. You don't want to miss it.
When people contact me, they often ask, what exactly do you do? And yes, if you contact me, I, Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank Show, will respond, not an assistant. I help people increase their returns, reduce taxes, increase positive cash flow, and reduce market risk. I accomplish your goals using various financial tools, including your personal bank. If you have questions or would like to discuss your situation, contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show with Ference Toth. Want more information? Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. Now back to the show with Ference Toth.
Welcome back to the Your Personal Bank Show. This is Ference, and we have one of our favorite guests, John Burley, with us in this last segment. And I just encourage you strongly, if you have missed any parts of this show from previous, go back to yourpersonalbank.com. You can listen to this or any of the previously recorded shows. John has been sharing all types of things, real estate focus, the affordability issues, what's going to happen, what happens if we have mass deportations or not, how to navigate higher interest rates, all these types of things, the commercial real estate market, impending doom we're looking at. But John, bottom line is, thank you for joining us. Love having you.
Oh, phenomenal show. I love the conversations. And seriously, guys, if you've never gone to yourpersonalbank.com to re-listen to an issue, you need to do it, because we had some incredible conversations. Things that I had never talked about or thought about, really, the mass deportation or not and their effects on real estate, because they're massive. I mean, they're huge.
You're talking about millions of people, literally, potentially, either way.
You know, people coming in like crazy, legally or illegally, people coming in like crazy. Many, many of the states where they're pouring in is providing, you know, state aid in most cases, probably in violation of their own stations, you know, and giving them aid, which just, you know, massively props up the multi-unit residential class C properties. You take that income stream away, that free money from, it's not free, but that money from the government, you know, and you collapse those markets. And those are markets that are already in huge, huge stress because of massive speculation on price. I am literally every week having multi people reach out to me, fund and institutional, and people who invested in the funds and institutions going, John, what are we going to do, man? This thing is about to go boom. They're not all going boom, but a bunch of them are.
Well, that's another point that I think, John, a lot of people don't realize is how much of a consultant you are for some of the big money players in the real estate world.
Yeah, I mean,
can you care to share a little bit some of the inside knowledge in that? What's going
without
on?
Disclosing anything, because the first word in private equity is private. But I know, for example, in nine and ten, in particular, when the big funds, the big names moved into the residential sector, which they had never been before, where I had been since 89. I'm from there. I'm one of them. And five of the very, very biggest paid me very large consulting fees. And then what was great is 5 years later, after all of their models failed, exactly why I told them they would, because it was non-street real world stuff, and the people operating them didn't have real street experience in real estate. They were non-real estate people who were really, what they were for the most part was phenomenal fundraisers. It could be kind of like from a where most people at, there's these influencers who are amazing at marketing and attracting hundreds of thousands or millions of followers, but they don't necessarily know what they're doing in the real world, but they don't spend any time in the real world, so it's irrelevant. Well, Wall Street came into my world, and at that point, most didn't know. It was great because three of them rehired me for double the money to tell them the exact same thing, but the second time they listened. And the other two people asked, no, they don't do real estate anymore. They went back to what they did, which was, you know, high fee gouging in the stock market sector. Most of our experience these days on that side is with the family office and the quasi family office, a little bit more independent money who's just tired of paying fees to Wall Street. Exorbitant fees. We are unique. 2% of the institutions in America work for profit, investment companies, meaning if I don't make money for my clients, I do not receive income. I do not eat. My family does not get fed. And so amazingly, for 35 straight years, we made money every year. It's funny how that works out, isn't it?
Good motivation.
Motivation. And then the main thing is, you know, the flaw in my model is when markets are going crazy and prices are going through the roof, we usually step out. Because I can't make a profit when the markets are high. I have to manage my great portfolio, which produces income on every single property. And then when the market goes down and there's stress and distress, I then go in and acquire what I can acquire. But again, I can never just come in and buy Phoenix. I can't come in and buy Charlotte. I can't buy huge chunks of a city, because if you're buying huge chunks, you this is the stock market. It's not like I can't go buy a billion shares of IBM. It's not how it works. And so we have to be very selective on our placement, which is what we teach our students to do, is, you know, to understand that you are not the lion, you are the gazelle. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have to be nimble and move around and protect the herd. But, you know, gazelles don't assault lions. They get eaten because the lion can just keep going and the gazelle can't. So, you know, we don't throw billions and trillions of dollars into a market hoping it'll work out. We make very, very wise business decisions. And there's lots of opportunities for every one of your listeners who's interested in doing real estate, whether it's for their own home, for their investment portfolio. I think some of the big shifts that are happening, and, you know, we talked about this, and you've got these big cities that are now looking at finally converting offices to residential needs, you know, condos, because there's these vacant buildings. The challenge to that, obviously, is that the buildings are vacant because people aren't going downtown to work. If they're not going downtown to work, mass numbers of people probably don't want to move downtown. And I know in San Francisco, I got a developer friend who stopped doing project there, because literally it's $860,000, 1,000 documents, and over 2 years to build a door. Yeah, and that's not counting the cost of the land or the build a unit. And so it's like, you know, these big cities are screaming for affordable housing. Well, affordable housing, you're the primary problem for affordable pricing housing. You know, they're trying to make landlords in some cities actually have to pay a penalty if they don't rent the units, because some are choosing not to rent the units because the rent is so substandard they'd rather wait and sell than rent. You know, one of the big things for a lot of people, and this is a big life change, this is not for everybody, and I'm not saying it'd be easy, but massive numbers of people are leaving the big cities and going back to, you know, not the 10 biggest cities, but the 25th to 50th biggest city. So there's still lots of cool stuff to do. There's still entertainment. Mm-hmm. There's still things, but they're going to areas that are just far, far more affordable, especially people working remote. I mean, if you're working remote, unless it's inherent to your personal needs and well-being, you don't need to live in big, huge, expensive cities where, you know, little one-bedroom condos are seven figures. I mean, most of America for $250,000 to $500,000 lives in a really, really nice home with a backyard, and where I live, a swimming pool, and it's just a different lifestyle. So there's a lot of shifts there.
A question that came to mind is, you know, this interest rates obviously affect real estate maybe more than anything. And, you know, we keep hearing, and I say this, it's from Wall Street, keep hearing, well, interest rates are going to go down, interest rates are going to go down. I always say, listen to the Federal Reserve. They keep saying higher for longer. So if indeed we see higher interest rates for the next several years, what do you see happening in the real estate market? What should somebody do?
So first of all, anybody who says they know is lying, because nobody knows.
Right.
I know there's all these people prognosticators. I have dear friends, you know who they are, I'm not going to name them, who literally since I met them in 92 have been screaming, the world is coming to end, America's going bankrupt, it's all going to crash, and wrote books to that effect. Well, we're 35 years later, and America hasn't crashed, and America's not dead, and America's not over. Far, far from it. Do we have challenges? Yes. Are we dysfunctional? Yeah. However, if you were to think of America as a family, although we are a dysfunctional family, we are the most functional of all the dysfunctional families. there's a reason why the world is trying to sneak into America. They ain't trying to sneak out.
Right.
They're trying to get in. You know, interest rates, I do not know. Looking at the study and research I've done, going back to an America 1765, going back to 6,000 years past, there are charts and graphs available that you can really see trends. I think where we're at right now, first of all, from a long-term historical perspective, and not going back hundreds or thousand years, just going back 40 years, interest rates right now are significantly lower than the norm for the last 40 years. I started investing in 1979, and I didn't see single digit rates until the third quarter of 93, folks. And that wasn't, we can blame Jimmy Carter for everything, but that was Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan and Bush Jr. And it was actually under Clinton when they finally came under 10. Because, I have my personal biases and preferences, but when it comes to money and subjects like interest rate, I can't be biased. Right. It costs me too much money and costs my capital investors too much money. And so it's not all Democrats or Republicans, good or bad on anything. Every administration, for the most part, I mean, some you have to look hard, but every administration did good things and bad things. Some you got to look harder than others from my own personal perspective and opinion, but that's not necessarily a fact, it's my opinion. I think where we are in interest rates is it possible that for political reasons, we could get a slight bump down? And I'm talking half a point, that's it, maybe 1.5 max. I don't think so. Is it out there as a possibility and on the table? Yes. The more likely when, like you say, when you listen to the Fed's like, no, we're not doing that. There are so many other things they need to fix. They don't want to get the hyperinflation. I mean, they should spend their time revising the tax code. They should spend the time, fixing housing. There's a lot of things they should do that they're not doing. It is what it is. It's just politics as usual. And so I don't think we've got a big interest rate coming down. I mean, hey, the big interest rate come down, it already came and it already went, and you missed it. However, you can still get it. And that's by what we talked about early in the show, going back, learning, and it's an advanced strategy, but learning how to do things called subject to, learning how to properly do assumptions, learning how to do what's called a mirror wrap. And those are techniques where we take control of existing loans. We were talking in the last session. I mean, we literally this year have bought loans from 1.75 to 3.625. I had one loan that's 2.875 that has for real over 100,000 in equity that I got.
So if somebody wants to learn more about how to do this, John, I know you have an event coming up. How do they contact you?
Yeah, April 4th to 7th, go to johnburley.com, johnburley.com. If you can't make the April event, I do three public events a year. We also have a lot of free tools and education for you on the website. So go to johnburley.com. And I'm on all social media. I'm not a huge, big influencer because it's not where I spend my time, but we're there. We're regular. We do things. And unlike a lot of guys, if you send me a personal message, it may be a day, but the person who responds and answers isn't some 18-year-old kid sitting in a room somewhere. It's me, and I'm happy folks, to help.
Well, John, it's been awesome having you on the show again, as always. And, folks, if you are interested in learning more about real estate, definitely contact John. Plan to attend one of his events. You will not be disappointed. As always, I'm going to encourage you to stay tuned to the Your Personal Bank show next week. We have some incredible interviews coming up. Contact me for more information if you want to learn how to navigate this economic challenges, uncertainty, chaos, whatever you want to call it going forward at yourpersonalbank.com. Before I finish, John, again, thank you for joining us. It's always awesome having you.
Parents, thank you. And everybody out there listening, thank you for your time today and God bless. Take care.
Absolutely. As long as it's on our money, in God we trust.
Contact Ference at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. That's 866-268-4422. This show is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information. The presenter and guests of this program do not engage in legal, accounting, or tax advice.
Financial literacy in America is almost non-existent. It's typically not taught in schools, the media, at work, or in the home. I'm Ference, host of the Your Personal Bank show. If you would like me to speak to your investing group or an organization with a financial focus, please contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. My goal is to increase financial literacy and enhance your financial future. Again, it's 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com. Would you like to sponsor the Your Personal Bank show hosted by Ference Toth? We are looking for like-minded partners who want to join our rapidly growing radio show. I frequently state, economic freedom is freedom. Thomas Jefferson wrote, a well-informed electorate is a prerequisite to democracy. Contact me at 866-268-4422 or yourpersonalbank.com to help increase financial literacy and protect our freedoms.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change. And generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
We are there in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, we meet the challenge. In cybersecurity, protecting and defending in cyberspace. When natural disasters happen, we are there in space. As a strong part of the nation's defense, we are there in the community and we are there for our nation. We share a vision to make a difference, united and focused, taking pride in being there in service of our country. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to afreserve.com for more information.